want to start Psalm 62. God's going to bring about a shift in our hearts tonight so that we can re-enter into a trust expectancy. The Bible says Jude says that we're to build ourselves up in our most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. But then it goes on, it says, keeping ourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ into eternal life. The word looking is the idea of being ready to host, like hospitality. So as fear anticipates punishment or torment, love anticipates mercy coming. And it's a disposition that you'll find. I'll share my own heart. My heart, when it's afraid, I'm expecting to be punished. First thing my soul goes in and says, I know how to resolve this. Let's control things. I started controlling things that might take care of the immediate fear, but it doesn't resolve the conflict in my heart that I lost my place in trust. One of the things we were talking about yesterday in the class is that when you feel the fear or when you feel the angst or the, is to go, why and where is this coming from? Where did this originate? Why am I? And just give yourself permission to have God point to, because if he's going to heal our heart, he has to get access to our heart. And we have to give him permission, because often we're guarded and we're just keeping. And so I was having a great conversation with the Lord today. I've got enough things that I have to keep presenting myself to the Lord in trust. And I said, Lord, well, why is this fear there? Why is it hard to trust you here? And I know I'm not to. I know I'm supposed to step out of this in complete reliance upon you, which is honestly what the Bible teaches us, that God expects us to completely fail, yet he only will accept perfection. Yet the perfection is in his son. So the shifting from my own resource to you're my resource, Jesus, and you're the one that I can will complete what you began. You're the one that has healed so I can be healed. You're the one that's delivered so I can be delivered. And just that utter trust there is what God is asking. There's no other resourcing. So I said to the Lord, I think what I'm feeling is that I trust myself more than I trust you. I think if I have an idea what I could do to fix this. And I'm afraid if I don't step in to fix it, maybe you won't. And so it's just opening conversations, because at the end of all of this, I can't solve my stuff. So what we do is we turn and we start to behold him. We behold the one who has been made whole, whose soul was made an offering for sin, who was crushed and who was grieved, who's poured out a soul unto death. And we then begin to receive his glorification, his beautiful place of position. And it really is. Jesus is the answer to the question, whatever the question is. He is the resource that as I gaze upon him, I don't have to believe. I just have to receive. I don't have to say, I believe you will always heal me in everything. I can say, Lord, I'm having a hard time believing you're going to heal, but I'm going to look at you. You are the healer, and I receive you as perfect health that comes from you. And there is no other health that comes from anywhere else. You are the source of life and abundance. You've been raised from the dead. And I begin to magnify and glorify him. He begins to fill the void and begins to convince this frightened little heart, go ahead, let me in and let me occupy this place and hold this space. So let's read to Psalm 62. It's just a comfort psalm. I think you'll like it. Truly my soul silently waits for God. From him comes my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. How long will you attack a man? You shall be slain, all of you, like a leaning wall and a tottering fence. They only counsel to cast him down from his high position. They delight in lies. They bless with their mouth, but they curse inwardly. Selah. We all are aware of sudden trouble, threats, possibilities, desires of that would take us, and we could be swept away. And David had this unique ability to put his trust in God, identify the problem that he was walking through, and then return himself and let God be the one who is the source. My soul, wait silently for God alone, for my expectation is from him. That's verse. My soul, can you hear him? My soul, wait silently. It's like another psalm. Return to your rest, O my soul, for the Lord has dealt bountifully with you. That's why the soul is not the source of life. It's not the source of faith. It's not the source of really, it's a directing. It has a connecting point, but it isn't the place to which life originates. That's why you're always telling the soul, hey, soul, why are you bummed out? Why are you cast out? Hope in God. You're going to praise him. Soul, bless the Lord. Here's what you need to do. It's a part of the connection to God for the outer man and to get ourselves in realigned and in a replay. So wait silently for God alone. For my expectation is from him. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. Notice honesty, declarations. Honesty of your state, declarations of who God is. And this is what prayer is. In God is my salvation and my glory. The rock of my strength and my refuge is in God. Trust in him at all times, you people. I love this. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. See, he's never afraid of our heart. Our heart has to get honest. Without the ability to tell the Lord honestly where I find myself, or the willingness to discover where I find myself, I'm going to be faking it. I'm going to be trying to act like I've got, trying to have faith in a promise instead of a person. All the promises work because of the person who made it. And he's, so here I am. Here's what's going on. You're my refuge. Surely men of low degree are a vapor. Men of high degree are a lie. If they are weighed on the scales, they are altogether lighter than vapor. Do not trust in oppression, nor vainly hope in robbery. If riches increase, do not set your heart on them. God has spoken once, twice I've heard this, that power belongs to God. Also to you, O Lord, belongs mercy, for you render to each one according to his work. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this descriptive psalm of your prophet David, who could see so far and yield so well to the glories of Jesus. We thank you that we are a people that are in pursuit. We heard you say so long ago, seek my face. And our heart said, your face I will seek. And through the journey, so many things occur, and so many times we lose the connectivity to what it was that we started. And we want tonight to return simple hearts in seeking you, trusting in your goodness, anticipating the mercy of Jesus, expecting something wonderful to happen for us because of you, in us because of you, coming to you, the throne of grace. You sit with all of that mercy and grace to wrap around us and supply us into. Oh, Lord, you beautiful Jesus. There's not one thing we're in that you haven't won. There's not one test that we're going through that you didn't walk through yet without sin. There's not one element of this earthly journey and time that we're walking through that you have not already experienced and conquered. Your soul was made an offering for sin. The Father saw your soul in grief and was satisfied as you poured it out. And as you then gave it up for death, you were called forth into newness of life. You are now living in complete peace, rest, refreshing, renewal, expectancy, victory, and triumph. Yet you do not forget where we are. Therefore, you are a merciful and faithful high priest. and you ask us to hold the confession of what you speak so that we can engage with you, but you do not deny us the truth of where we find ourselves so that you can heal us. You came with the anointing and the Holy Spirit's upon the body to do the very thing you came to do. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to heal the brokenhearted, to set the captives free, and let those who are oppressed go forth in jubilee, in freedom. Oh, Kabarisa. This is why prayer works so well, because it's a positioning of ourselves before the one who carries all of life. To gaze upon the face of Jesus is where the glory of God is seen and where I am healed and transformed. Do it tonight. Every one of us here want this. But Lord, I'll be honest. I told you already today, I don't mind telling everybody, I'd rather trust myself. I feel more confident that I could get a job done than sometimes I wonder, would you do it if I give it all to you? Yet you give me no choice now. Not because I don't have the choice to do it myself, but it's made it very clear that in this season, it's all about you taking, being the resource of everything. And I'd rather, I am to give place to the fear that if I don't do something, nothing will happen. And trust you that you will bring forth what you want and your promise and your goodness, so that the fear has to be dealt with in the love of God and not control. I long for that. Thank you for this season we have before Pentecost. Oh, Kabasheba. Thank you that this can be frightening and it can be overwhelming. But every time we come and we give you the place that you deserve, you're the only source of life. There is no life outside of Christ. And now that we are sons, we have but one place to be, and that is abiding in you and your words abiding in us. Knowing that without you we can do nothing, but in you we can do all things in Christ who strengthens us. So help us as we're learning to listen under your voice, hearing your words. Under your words we hear, while circumstances rage, while our internal being reacts, while plots are thickened. You reign. You rule. You laugh. You hold in derision our enemies, and then you distress them with your great displeasure. Oh, Bakashekeba. Thank you, Jesus. Come to the brokenness of our hearts, the crushed spirit, the broken heart, and bring revival. Bring revival. Bring revival. Bring revival. So that we might come alive again in you in fresh and full ways, in Jesus' name. Amen. It's fun just to pray. I'm sorry. All this prayer, it's like, we could just do this praying, couldn't we? Just kind of just pray our way into this truth. Better than grasping it with my head. Ephesians chapter 1. I want to share something that's helped me a lot in discovering it. This chapter is one of my worship chapters. And verse 13 says, in him also, in Christ, inside Christ, not outside, not be working with him in partnership, inside him, in Christ. Whenever you see the word in, just use the word inside, and it'll enlarge the sound of the word in. Inside him also we have, inside him, you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. That is, this chapter is like every verse is so big. In him, you also trusted. Oh, let's go back. Verse 11. It's my mistake. In him also, now this is the author, Paul. the apostle. In him also we've obtained an inheritance. All of us have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will. We don't have to fear. We have been chosen and set in motion into a place in Christ before time began, and it was decided upon the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. They made that place for us, and they did it according to their will and working according to their counsel. That we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of his glory. Have you ever noticed that when it comes to inheritance for the believer in the church, we're not really told specifically what that means? You know, we're not told you get inheritance in Jesus, that means you get to be this, or you get to do that, or you get to come here. It's in Christ, and we understand that we are his inheritance. So what is the fruit of inheritance? Trust in his glory, in expectancy. It's the returning to what happened in the garden where Adam and Eve were sustained completely in union and covered in the glory and cared for entirely and completely. So the inheritance that we trust, those that we who first trusted inside Christ, we give an inheritance. We're not trying to control it. No one can take it. No one can remove it. We're receiving it. And what's coming is the fruit of trust. Trust is a restoration of glory, because when there is glory, there is trust. And where there is a breach of trust, then there is the shame, the disgrace, the reproach, and there's no connecting. Two people in covenant break covenant, husband and wife break covenant, and now they're trying to come back together. The issue will be the last resolution is trust. I'm safe with you, and I can rest inside of that. So when we trust Christ, we're bringing God praise to his glory. In him also then we trusted, in him also you trusted, after you heard the word of truth, or verse 13, the gospel of your salvation. So truth is a key to trust. Truth, not true to one another, yes, of course, especially in covenant relationship, but also truth of who Jesus is and what he's spoken to us in the word of God. When we hear the word of truth, it initiates a new trust. And it also becomes our gospel of salvation, which is a funny thing, because I like this, I've observed this enough and it helps me, maybe it'll help you. There is that ust, U-S-T. And when an ust believes a lie, it will spawn lust. We will feel the necessity to take matters into our own hands, try to control outcomes, try to force things to go a certain way, even in the desire for God to be glorified and promises to be filled, lust can be present. So it's not always a sexual thing. It's just it's a thing that says, I've got to take care of me, or I've got to make sure this happens, or I've got to keep on top of this because I don't want to, I may not lose it, because fear brings lust. And lust is built on a lie. But on the other hand, if you get rid of the lie and bring the truth, you get trust. And trust is that rest where you say, you know, I don't have to be caught up on the details. I don't have to be watching after God, making sure he keeps his promise. I don't have to be reminding him every day to take out the trash. I can be a really happy, contented wife, because he will fulfill the good that he promised and bring it to pass. So trust comes from truth, and it shifts us from the lie. And love with trust brings completion. Fear with lust brings corruption. And we can look at our life. I can look at my life. I often do. And I go, let's see, how did that work out for me? Where did I end in that path that I took? Because lust can be very much looking like faith on the outside, but it's motivated from a resourcing of self versus being resourced from above. So he says, in him also you trusted, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of salvation, in whom, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. He is so present. We've been sealed with the Holy Spirit because we believe in him. And who is the Holy Spirit is the guarantee of our inheritance. Now, this is where I believe there's such a grace coming. Certainly has for me. To be sealed by the Holy Spirit because of my faith in Jesus and his is not only, yeah, you're there, I got you, but that's the guarantee of my inheritance. What God set in motion before time began, what he intended, what he saw for me, what he saw for me to be in Jesus, what he saw of Jesus for me to be inside, he's now the guarantee. I'm not the guarantee. We're not the one going, you know what, if we do this all right, I think we can get ahead by the end of the year. Or if we do this all wrong, we'll never get ahead. It has nothing to do with us. It has all to do with him. And the Holy Spirit is the guarantee that we, the inheritance of the redemption. So that's where we can trust because we're not having to rely upon ourselves. And he's the guarantee of the inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession. We are the purchased possession, and God's dream for us will be fulfilled. Every member of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Somehow that's going to rapidly, at the end, I'm sure, just a rapid maturing and collecting and in coming back in together, because we are his purchased possession. And when it means to acquire us completely. So we are acquired completely in Christ, but we haven't yielded ourselves fully because we don't know how to do that. And we have to get, we're learning how to listen, how to come under his voice, how to give place, how to identify what it is that's inside of me that's creating the problem, not what's outside of you causing me a problem. It's not you that's my problem, it's me. For each of us, it's the returning of ourself back into a trust relationship, because it says, to the praise of his glory. See, the glory of God causes an individual and a people to live inside of a rest and a trust. And because we know we can go in and out of the glory of God, we can go in and out of trust. We can be like, oh, it's all good. I remember once, it was a Sunday morning, and the Holy Spirit was so present and for me, and I was under, oh, I was just, you know, have you ever been, you know, the glory of God just seems like says everything's perfect. Don't worry about a thing. I got this. I'm in charge. I'm king. I'm love. I love you. We're cool. Everything's good. And, oh, by the way, here's the future. Let's look into and gaze into the, and you just start going, wow. And I remember someone came in and they had a real, real concern about someone else. And it was something about something not being right. And I had the hardest time hearing it. It wasn't that I didn't care. I just like, well, I get where you're going, but I don't think coming into your anxiousness is going to resolve the conflict. I think that we're better if we could all get into this glory or be in a place of that rest. Recently, I found myself saying, I'm not coming out of Christ to enter into a crisis. I know the crisis is there, but I have a choice. I want to be in Christ. And Christ isn't in a crisis. He'll go walk into the middle of a crisis, but he'll be the one saying, why are you all upset? She's only asleep. He'll be the one making these kind of statements that they don't fit the soul's interpretation and the heart's panic. And yet we have to just kind of, if we're going to travel with him, it's just like, got to get used to the language that he wants to speak from faith and from himself and for, you know, resource us with words and the Spirit. And he's not the one going to respond to us in crises. He's going to call us into Christ. So trust is to the praise of his glory. The glory of God experience, whether just in a simple day of prayer, a little hour or two, and all of a sudden you're there again. The trick is, how do I stay there? How do I return my soul to rest? How do I come back into that place? I want to, let me see where I am. I want to go to Isaiah 26. I bet a lot of us love this. Isaiah 26. I love this chapter. We were in 25, I think, last week, talking about the coming of the Lord that dismantles the whole woe is me, and starts a party. The comes and swallows up death, and he begins to wipe away the tears from our faces, takes the reproach off our lives, and removes it far away and causes salvation to be experienced. Well, it finishes and then jumps into the chapter 26, verse 1. In that day we just described, the song will be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. God will appoint salvation for walls and bulwarks. That's us. We are, and we have, and we can be confident, and we can rest, and we can trust him to be the one who puts the walls of salvation and bulwarks. That open the gates that the righteous nation, which keeps the truth, may enter in. An open gate policy, because God's bringing forth this people into one. You will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. And the mind, better word would be imaginations, and it's the thoughts and imaginations of the heart. It's not the mental, although obviously we redirect our thoughts constantly. We can put our thoughts, set our affection on things above. We can think upon him, think on these things. So it is a redirecting. It is a part of our directing. But when we get it staying, what we receive is perfect peace. And perfect peace is perfect peace. It's like partial peace, like, well, maybe if we all pitch in and make it work, it'll work. No, God comes and says, I've done it. It's complete. Nishlam, it's finished. It is full. It is made perfect. And here it is. Now, where do we get that? We set our imagination. We set our thinking. Fear. And I have fear in my heart, all kinds of places, and I'm opening myself. It's been, what has it been? Last year was all humility, and this year is like opening myself for him to take the place of where I have been resourcing from myself to hold my place. And it's frightening each time I have to try to make the shift or release the reins of control. My mind stayed on you because he trusts in you. So when I begin to behold and I go, Lord, wow, you're everything. When the Lord decreed to me, you will come out of this crisis in health and wealth, I knew that was truth. Because we were not beholden to any situation to sustain us. We were just beholden to a man we could trust. A man who is our high priest, a man who is the king, a man who is the born-again man. Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. It does not belong to us. It is given freely to us as we believe in his Son. And as we receive his Son, we receive all of salvation. So it's not a question of works. It's not a question of trying to have faith. In fact, for me, faith more and more is just receiving what is being spoken. Not trying to believe it, I just receive it. Therefore, I can have a mixed bag in my reaction, but I don't have to try to sort me out in order to let him be him. I just start giving, that's you. You're more than capable. He'll keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever, for in Yah, the Lord is everlasting strength. So this union that comes inside of trust. Trust that comes from beholding him in his glory, setting our mind on the things above, recognizing, wait a minute, I'm in conflict, but I'm actually inside of Christ in the conflict. Or, better yet, I'm going to bring my conflict inside of Christ. Because if I'm in Christ, then everything about me is in Christ. So I'm going to let him be resolution to everything. So I take the pressure off of what do I need to do? What do I need to do? What if I don't do the right thing? What if I make the wrong decision? You just realize you can't make a right decision, first off. That's the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And if you make the wrong decision, it was already resolved because of Christ. And we're not going to get into the future by right decisions. Nor are we going to be kept from our future because of wrong decisions. We're only kept from whatever because of unbelief. And unbelief simply because we don't believe on him. So we're not giving him that access. So this trust that comes from setting our affection, our mind, and looking in that direction. He goes on, he says, he brings down those who dwell on high, the lofty city, he lays it low, he lays it low to the ground, he brings it down to the dust, because any resourcing self is the iniquity that Lucifer sowed into himself, and we bought in when Adam and said, I'm in, I'm going to eat, and I think I want to be able to access future through knowledge. And I think I'm going to hold a place that I can hold without God holding me in that place. And then once that happened, all the fear that flooded his soul and all the nakedness that he became aware of, because the glory lifted, his spirit went dead. Now all of a sudden, he's struggling. And so what comes in our place? Pride. And our ability, and we've got to focus it. The foot shall tread it down, the feet of the poor, the steps of the needy. The way of the just is uprightness, O most upright. You weigh the path of the just. Yes, in the way of your judgments, O Lord, we have waited for you. The desire of our soul is for your name and for the remembrance of you. So what we're seeing is this being, choosing to turn our gaze upon Jesus. Because if my soul, I like this, is me, and me is my problem, but I can't change me, but I can turn me to look upon Jesus. And by gazing upon Jesus, not to resolve me, but just to see him, the more I look upon him, the more he affects me, and the more I yield, and my soul returns to rest. And if I open myself in conversation to say, Lord, why is my heart so broken? Why am I having this fear? And you get these little moments to go, like today, just for a particular events that are going. I said, because I actually trust me more than I trust you. Wow, how come I trust me more than I trust you? Because it's apparent to me at multiple times you weren't there the way I hoped that you would be. So I have now this kind of like, I'm all in, but I don't know that I can hold my place there, because I get frightened very quickly and I run. And our soul becomes that trigger mechanism. It just, all of that stuff flows. But the beautiful thing is I can draw near to God with a true heart. He's not saying, when you get your heart healed and when you get your soul and submitted and when you get your life in order, then we're advancing. No, he says, come as you are. That's the song that, you know, Diana was singing again tonight. You know, he told me everything. Come see the man who told me everything I ever did. And in telling me that, saved me, received me, took off the burden, took off the reproach, took off the whatever. And I now am broadcasting this glorious, could this be the Christ? Because he accessed me in the deepest way. Oh, those kinds of moments are just, but you see, the unbelief in my heart, the hard heart will make me be an unbelieving believer. And God will be wanting to insert a truth that I will refuse because I won't yield to the glory that the truth is bringing. So I'm having to learn, and it's in so many ways, it's in every way right now, because I've been handing everything to him for this whole last year. It was the funnest thing to do, still is. I give it to you. How could I ever think I could do anything with it? How could I ever think I have any resource that could contribute? How did I think I would do anything but not do it right? So I'm taking all the burden off of me, putting it all back on you, giving it to you, receiving you. All of that starts opening this kind of course you're going to come in and be the source. That's who you are. You're the Savior. You're the Lord. You're the healer. You're the deliverer. You're the redeemer. You're sitting on a throne. You're sitting next to the Father, the majesty on high. You have already conquered death. You have already destroyed him who had power of death. You are alive and we're dead. Now you're alive forevermore. Have the keys of death, Hades and death. And I just focus on him. And the more I see him, the more I'm released from me. And I go, oh, wow. Until the next crisis. to the next trigger mechanism, right? To the next, whoa! And then I'm all, my heart just floods my being, my body feels it everywhere, and I'm going, oh no, oh no. And then I want to return to the old patterns. How am I going to do? What am I going to do? What's wrong? What did I do wrong? What did somebody else do? What do I got to do to stop what I'm doing? No, just turn from me to Jesus and worship, behold. And when we're in that place, then he says, one thing that is really helpful is if you'll hold fast your confession of hope. Don't disengage from me because of the circumstances you're in. Keep your hope in me. It's an anchor for the soul, and it's right behind the veil, and that's where I am. I'm your forerunner. I'm your high priest. Just hold, let the hope, but the hope is not because I'm, you know, anticipating it. The hope is because God, Jesus, is faithful. Let me see if I was supposed to say something else, because I have a simple little picture that's really been helping me. I think I'll just tell the story. I found a lot of solace in the last 2 years in moving the pressure off of me to do what is expected or what is right, to putting my expectation on Jesus for doing what he said he would do because of who he is, and because therefore the outcome had to be him. I got 3 minutes, so. And who I gain a lot of comfort from is watching Abraham in the time of fruition, the time where God comes and says, I'm changing your name and changing Sarai to Sarah, and we're going to have a baby, and his name's Isaac, and it's going to happen in a year. It's just like really tight. On the way out, he says, you know, I'm going to just let... we're part of family, so I'm going to let you know. I'm sending these guys to check out Sodom and Gomorrah because the cry of their wickedness has gone up, and we're coming down to check it out. And Abraham, this is me again meditating. He's had a charge of his nephew, Lot, all of these years, 25 plus years, we know for sure. And he's, gosh, I got to get Lot out of this. And he goes to God, Jesus, who is present, Son of God the Son, and says, will God do the right thing? Would he destroy a whole city on account of a few wicked? What if there are a few righteous? Is there enough? And then he makes the bargaining. Bargains God down to a 10 quota. And if you think, if you follow the narrative, there probably were 10 in Lot's family, including those who were married into the family. The next morning, he gets up and there it is, places in smoke. And I believe he really lost his place and needed to let go of this false responsibility of delivering Lot out of his problem. In any case, what happened is he freaks out to some degree. He leaves a perfectly safe and defensible position. He's on the Negev, which is he's above the where the Dead Sea is, most likely where Sodom and Gomorrah was. He's in a good place, but because of a bad thing that happened at the end of an intercession, he leaves where he is and goes to Gaza, present day, Gaza. I'd be like today going to Gaza, thinking, I'm going to get out of where I am, get someplace safe. Now he's in Gaza, realizes it's a godless, God unfearing, and now he continues to, what it would seem like, capitulate into bad ways and goes, you know, well, it's, you know, Sarah, remember the deal. You tell everybody, you're my sister, I'll be safe. Now she's in Abimelech's house. Abimelech's woken up and said, you're a dead man. He said, what do you mean? He said, you've got another man's wife. He said, well, he told me she's my sister. And I said, I know, but if you don't do what I tell you, you're dead. So he wakes up Sarah, you know, gets Abraham, pulls him in. He said, what did you do? He said, well, I didn't see any fear of God. And this is when, ever since God made me to wander, to follow him, this was our understanding we had, because indeed she is my sister. She has a relationship, I forget which, with father, same mother. I think it's the same Father. Anyway, God told Abraham, now pray for Abimelech. Abimelech's entire household had gone barren in one night. However that affected all the females, they were shut, their wombs were shut, while the woman of promise's womb had been opened. And if you look at all of that and you go, how in the world did you manage that kind of stuff? You had, and I'm convinced for me that Abraham had disconnected himself from the equation as being a contribution to the outcome or a detriment to the outcome. And as Romans 4 says, he did not consider the deadness of his body. He did not stagger and divide the promise of God and wonder how it could happen in the setting that he's in. Instead, he just grew strong in faith by glorifying God. And there we are back at glory. Glory covers, and when we glorify, the glory comes. The same word. To the glory of God and to glorify God. One is coming forth in praise and worship. The other is coming forth in manifestation and demonstration. The two begin to become one. He came, it says, Abraham became fully persuaded, fully convinced. God, you promised it, you'll have to perform it, and I can't help you in this. I'm not going to get involved. I'm going to just stay in the place of rest. I'm even going to get caught up in what does this mean? What do I do? Just here we are. I got here. And the thing that's comforted me is that a lot of us have gone through a lot of things to get to where you are today. Promises are about to be performed. And yet, we are not in the position or the place we had hoped we would be. We're basically very, very vulnerable. And we lose our place quite quickly. And we're continuing to carry burdens that are no longer ours to carry. We're making decisions that we're trying to negotiate to try to get God to keep things from happening when God's not coming to tell us what he's going to do so we'd stop him from doing it. He's telling us so we'd be prepared and be able to release and go into the future with him. And then when we get into the place that we don't know what to do, we go back. You know, it's just, we are we. We are we, but he is he, Jesus. Let's just turn our attention to Jesus for a moment. He is so perfect. There is not a decision that we make that he is caught off guard. And there's not a decision that we make that keeps us from our future. There's not a thought we feel or think or act upon that hinders the outcome of God's ability to perform what he promised. Oh, praise you, Jesus. Salvation is only in you. Strength is only in you. There is no need to be something more than a receiver. In the most complicated moments, and I have so many fearful thoughts that come, threats, and, oh no, and past carrying burdens like Abraham dropping into a bad habit of, oh no, I'm going to control the situation this way. All of those things you see and you find it. And what do I do? What do I do? If I learn anything as I just let go and look at God and just gaze upon his beautiful face. See him high and lifted up. See him my Lord and Savior, faithful high priest, merciful. See him ready to resource me in every way. And he is the only resource I'm ever to rely upon. He is life itself. See him smiling, anticipate mercy coming, living inside the love of God, anticipating good to come out of the moment, not evil and punishment. Oh, praise you, Jesus. Who could do this but God become man and man walk in submission to Father and then be offered as an offering for our sin, our separation, and then come forth in resurrection in total sonship. And now you hold all salvation inside of you. We are saved in you. We love you, Jesus. So whatever we've messed up, you fix. Whatever's been broken, you bring wholeness. Wherever our hearts have been broken, you make them whole. Never by ourselves, always by you. We welcome you. Oh, Lord, I pray a simple prayer. Bring the glory of your face, of the glory of God in the face of Jesus, to shine up in our hearts, to be all sufficient for everything that we're facing and everything we're desiring and everything we're pursuing. And let it be the place that rest arises and praise erupts. The kindness that's coming. Yes.
I turn back to your face so I can find my place.
Thank you, Papa.
You strengthen me within.
Come on, Papa.
So I can see.
As we close, just give ourselves to him completely. Bring all of us into all of him. Let him have access, and we choose trust. Let go of the things we feel responsible for, and let him be responsible for them. And we worship, and we praise, and we grace. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for coming in such a way as you're coming. Thank you for completing what you began, finishing what you started, finishing the novel of our lives and producing it, publishing it to the glory of God, to the glory of God. You will be seen in our lives in a fullness and will not be us, but you they'll see, and not be our righteousness or godliness or sacrifice or obedience. It'll simply be you and our surrender. Oh, Jesus, we love you. Jesus, we love you. Jesus, we love you. Jesus, you're the man. You are our mediator. You're the one who intercedes and oversees. Hallelujah. You stand before Father, and Father sees me in you and you in me. Oh, Father. Oh, Jesus, you're everything, 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 everything. Every whisper of every promise over every part of life is still within your ability to perform and shall be performed to the glory of God. Oh, yes, we worship you. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. I give you praise and preeminence. I set you high above my life and in my life. Everything is yours. Take it. I have to do it again tomorrow. I have to return again tomorrow. I have to return again and again. But I'm learning. You're carrying. You're taking possession. Oh, Kabaretisa.
Spirit of grace and truth. You guide me in all truth. You speak of what's to come. You glorify the Son.
Yes, glorify the Son.
You glorify the Son.
Oh, come, do it.
You glorify the Son. You glorify the Son.
We glorify the Son.
We glorify the Son. we glorify the Son.
Yes, we do.
We glorify the Son, the glorious Son of God. Oh, yeah, we glorify the Son, Jesus. Beautiful, beautiful Jesus. We glorify the Son.
Now, Father, we pray as we go out, we bless, we receive your blessing. We might build ourselves up in our most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keeping ourselves in the love of God, anticipating, looking for, and receiving the mercies of our Lord Jesus Christ into eternal life. Let these simple but profound practice affect us inside of faith and love, abounding in hope, in a fresh new way, I pray. Between now and tomorrow's class, Saturday's men's gathering, and Sunday's celebration, we are family. Nobody's left behind, because Holy Spirit was sent to bring perfection in Christ in all of us till the glory of God and to the finished time. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Blessing. God bless you. Thank you, guys.